are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Thursday, January 27th, 2022. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner. The DM's always open for you, although I'm going to start weeding out some of the garbage in those DMs. We'll get to that in just a moment. Coming up on the show, Ryan Evan will join us. He is the insider when it comes to Fighting Illini sports. And as you may have noticed, we've made some money thanks to the information that we've gotten from Ryan. How does he double and triple check his sources? Plus, we'll play buy or sell on some Final Four bets coming up later on in the show. I saw this tweet. First thing, I saw this late Sunday night from John Ewing, at John Ewing. He's been in the space for a while. The Titans sacked Joe Burrow 9 times. The Packers held the 49ers offense to 6 points. The Bills took the lead by 3 with 13 seconds left. All 3 lost. That is the NFL postseason in a nutshell. These games shift so quickly. Good bets become losers, dumb bets become winners, and how about the final scores? 19-16, 13-10, 30-27, 42-36 in overtime. That Chiefs-Bills game, And we've got Kansas City to win the AFC. That bullet is still in the gun, and it is still ready to go. But that bet was dead, then alive, then dead, then alive. We were in the box, pulled out of the box, thrown back in the box, and we roll on into championship weekend in the NFL. 2 great games. You may have also seen this on Sunday. Had a little encounter with one of my followers who was upset because I made him flip, and I use air quotes around made him flip, on the Niners and the Packers game. The guy sent a snarky DM late Saturday night, right after the Packers blew it. I ignored it. I was hot. Didn't want to deal with it. Moved on. Then the same guy faded the bartender. Although he was on the Rams, but then he saw the bartender on the Rams and he bet the Bucks. So he's a waffler. And if you're a waffler, you shouldn't be betting on sports. Notepad. If you're a fucking waffler, don't bet. So now this guy's jumping down my throat, in public, in private. I'm used to negative messages. That's part of the business. I'm used to anonymous people sliding into the DMs, talking smack when a pick loses. That's the way it goes. I'm okay with that. What really bothers me, though, is when a listener turns on you over a bad result or two and starts blasting you on Twitter, 15, 20 straight tweets, telling you you suck at your job. This is a person who messaged me in October of 2020 looking for betting advice. I've answered almost 100 messages about bets, hedges, fluky promos, parlay, strategy, and that relationship is now over because of 1 or 2 NFL playoff picks. Oh, he also let me know that, oh, you had Iowa covering against Michigan and never addressed it. Okay, I think everybody knows it was a bad pick. Shit happens. And then we just, you're an arrogant know-it-all who makes excuses every time he loses. What? What are we even talking about? I take full pride in this show. And if you haven't become a better from this show, if you haven't learned something from all of the great guests that we've had, if you haven't made money, I don't know what to tell you. The show is also free. I get paid nothing from this show. I do this show because I love it, and I do it for you. Buy a hoodie. That's the only support that this show gets financially. So the fact that I have to defend myself from a coin flip decision that went against me is absolutely ludicrous. Especially when you consider you got Maryland +7.5 on Friday night, info, Maryland close +4. You got UNLV under on Saturday, cash by 10 points, Vegas Rick. You got Michigan State +5 on Tuesday night, info, Sparty close +1.5. And you lost 2 NFL divisional round games. I am completely honest, sir. The Bucks money line pick was horrendous. It was not a good pick. They were down 27-3. You cannot even begin to talk about that being an okay pick. But the Packers, come on. San Francisco didn't even have an offensive touchdown. The Packers' result was bad. The process, the pick, all of that was good. Green Bay completely shut down San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo had 80 passing yards midway through the fourth quarter, and they didn't have a point scored via offensive touchdown. It's 10-3 Green Bay, laying 5, 5.5, 6 with 5 minutes to go. And Jimmy G's got to get them in the end zone. This is the NFL postseason, folks. So championship weekend is all set. Bengals at the Chiefs. Chiefs are -7 at most shops. Total mostly 54.5. It did get to 55, and when it hit that number, bang, right away, right back to 54.5. One of the books in Vegas, though, opened the total at 51.5, and that thing got run up. So you're seeing the over money, well, you saw the over money go over 51.5, 2, 3. When it gets to 54.5, 55, you start to see that under money come in. So it's probably going to close around 54. That's my guess. And then in the NFC, Niners at the Rams. Rams -3.5. Sharp money came under 47 and 46.5 down to 46. And as I look at this on a Thursday afternoon, Circa and BetOnline are at 45.5. Those are pretty sharp shops, and they're taking decent bets on the under. First glance, I think my favorite bet in the early going, still got a couple days to get through injury reports and all that, is the under in KC-Cincy. That Bengals O-line is looking bleak. And I'll tell you what, when the Chiefs play in AFC championship games and in Super Bowls and have success, it's because of their defense and the pressure they get on the quarterback. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Melvin Ingram, who I've talked about for months now, that trifecta is very good at disrupting what you do well. And that game, remember, Buffalo-Kansas City was an under. Josh Allen finally got them over in the final, what, minute or two of the AFC divisional round. It takes two to tango to go over 54.5. Both teams essentially need to score in the high 20s. It could be 45-20 Kansas City. I don't think this is the type of game. I think it's lower and slower. I would probably at this point bet under 54.5. The good news for you, if you're a Chicken Dinner listener, there's a chance you have one or two futures alive from this show. We got the Chiefs to win the AFC, plus 650. And the Niners, remember this bet, plus 650 to win the NFC. Niners bet was made way back in August, August 6th. Chiefs bet November 12th. Obviously, San Francisco bet came in the summer, and the Chief bet was before the first Raiders game. At that time, the Chiefs were plus 650 for the AFC and around 15-1 to win the Super Bowl. Didn't pull that one. Tennessee, remember, they were 7-2. Baltimore, 6-2. Bills and Raiders were both 5-3. The Chiefs were in last place of their own division. But both those bullets are live now, baby. So what can you do? In the NFC, it's tougher. DraftKings has the Rams minus 170 on the money line. Most shops are minus 180. So let's just say you put $100 on the Niners at plus 650. If you wanted to, you could risk $300 on the Rams money line to win around $176. Niners win, you make $350. Rams win, you make $75. Just saying that out loud, it's like, what's the point? If you can't afford to lose a unit, you shouldn't be gambling. We have a unit on San Francisco. Whether your unit is $25, $250, $25,000, whatever it is, if you can't afford to lose that one unit, you probably shouldn't be betting. So I'm not going to hedge this. I'm going to roll San Francisco. It's much tougher to hedge when you're the underdog. You know, the Niners are the dog in the game. It's easier to hedge when you're the favorite, which brings me to Kansas City. There are really, well, four options, I guess. You could take Bengals +7 and create a middle there. So let's say you have $100 on plus 650. And you bet $100, $110 to win $100 on Bengals +7. You've got a six-point middle. The Chiefs can win by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you win them both. You could bet the Bengals +270, +280. 100 wins you 280. If the Bengals win, 280 minus 100 on KC, you win 180. You could bet the Bengals to win the Super Bowl at 8 or 9 to 1. Or you could let it ride. I'm probably going to roll it. I'm not really all that nervous about the Chiefs losing twice to the Bengals in the same month. The number tells you everything you need to know. The market appears to be on Kansas City, at least the wise guy money early. I think you're going to write good two-way on 7. People will lay 7. People will also take 7. But the initial push, when it opened KC minus 6.5, right to 7. Within a half an hour, the whole world was 7. I'm not hedging the NFC game because a unit bet at plus 650, I don't hate San Francisco as a team. I don't like their quarterback. And if I read one more time about how Jimmy Garoppolo is 15-4 against the number, I'm going to lose it. 15-4 as an underdog all-time Garoppolo, which is the best cover percentage of any quarterback in the Super Bowl era. But it's also the most misleading stat I think I've ever heard. They don't win because of Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not the reason they're 15-4 ATS. It's because he plays on a very good team that has been built for the postseason. They don't build from flash. They build from within. They build with muscle and skill in the trenches. Great offensive line, great defensive line. That team is 15-4 when Garoppolo starts. Not Garoppolo is 15-4 ATS. The bartender is perfect in the NFL playoffs. Perfect. 3-0. He texted me on Sunday when the Rams were up 27-3. Playoffs are easy. I'm like, okay, I'm getting smoked in the playoffs. This guy, 2-0, and the Rams up 27-3. Now, the game did explode in his face, and it was 27-27 in the final minute. But you give credit where credit's due. The bartender is historically a public favorite type cat. He has shifted to the trendy teams, though, in the postseason. Bengals minus 5.5 against the Raiders. They won by, what, 7? 49ers money line against Dallas. That was a very sharp bet. He won that game. And the Rams money line against the Bucs, which actually became sort of public by kickoff. The sharps hit the Rams at plus 3 early in the week, and then they took a little bit more 3. But I was talking to a couple bookmakers in Vegas that said they actually needed Tampa to win the game because all the money was coming in on Los Angeles. A lot of the public bets were too, and people were money line parlaying Los Angeles. I'm getting texts now on Thursday. Hey, who's the bartender like? I'm like, I have no idea. I sort of feel like the bartender at this point with the way some of my picks have gone. What's next? Man, I have no idea. We'll find out soon. Got this message from one of our listeners in Seattle, mReed531. Yo, Sam. You ever seen this before? Question mark. I have hit 9 of my last 12 bets at BetMGM, and I just got this push notification last night. In bold print, you've been on a roll! Exclamation point. Take a shot on your next bet at an even bigger win, bigger in all caps, with one of our NFL parlay packages! Exclamation point. Also available are several one-game parlay options where you can build a parlay on the same event. There's also a little sexy image of Jamie Foxx holding a phone next to some text that says, "The King of Sportsbooks, roar!" So basically what they're telling our guy, mReed531, you've been winning. Why don't you come on down and we'll roll the carpet out and you can make some minus EV parlays and give us our money back. It's insane to me that a sportsbook can sell you crack. There's a reason they want you to parlay and not bet straight. It's the same reason why Illinois made $44 million on losing parlays in 1 month. Don't bite the bait. If you're doing something right and the book sends you a push notification to make a parlay, no, do not do it. The Hawaii government, have you seen this? Captain Jack tweeted this out. The Hawaii government wants to tax consumers at a rate we haven't seen yet in sports betting. And there's a little bit of wibble wobble on if it's the books or the consumers, but the bill is very confusing. Captain Jack tweeted, Hawaii has a new sports betting legalization bill. Apparently, they've seen the worst bills floated around and said, hold my Mai Tai. They are proposing a 55% tax on consumers. Win 100, get paid 45. Mahalo. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So I go a little bit deeper. Daniel Wallach has it out. And in the bill it says, quote, there shall be levied. There shall be levied, assessed and collected, a tax of 55% on all winnings paid out to any person by a sports wagering provider. The tax revenue shall be deposited into the sports wagering special fund. So, yeah, that sounds like risk 110 to win 100 in Vegas, but potentially in Hawaii, risk 110 to win 45. The irony of Ryan Butler and I having this conversation earlier this month about how far away Hawaii was. If they think that's going to fly in Hawaii, nobody's going to sign up for an account there. Why would you bet when you lose 55% of your profit? They want to tax the player, not the book? All righty. And the last thing. I try to keep my ears to the streets on the south side of Chicago where I'm from. My buddy Mike Pollock has a friend who made a $50 18 parlay at 326-1. Now, the payout was 16 large, $16,370. Here's the sheet. Bengals Titans under, check. Bengals money line, check. Rams Bucks over, check. Rams money line, check. Niners Packers under, check. 49ers money line, check. Bills Chiefs over, check. And the last leg, the Buffalo Bills money line. That is such a kick in the junk. I don't like parlays. I think parlays kill, but that is a parlay that should have won. And that is a horrendous way to lose a winning ticket. How do they not squib the kick? And here's the other thing. Warren Sharp brought this up, and I know hindsight's 20/20, but your situational staff should be ready for this. If there are 13 seconds on the clock and you kick the ball squib style, that's going to knock off 3 to 4 seconds. Then you're at 9 seconds. And here's what Warren Sharp said. What you do with 9 seconds left on that first and 10 play, you let Kansas City snap the ball, and then you tackle every wide receiver. Flag, defensive holding, 5 yards, but what happens? 3 or 4 seconds off the clock. So then you're down to 6 seconds, and Mahomes can make one play. You don't give them the ball 13 seconds and let them make two plays. You can't possibly let them get two plays off. But kicking it through the end zone and bringing the ball out gave Kansas City a chance. A lot of questions this week. What do you do about the overtime rules? Nothing. This is the way it is. The game was lost when you had a 3-point lead with 13 seconds to go. You don't want to lose the ball in overtime? You don't want to lose the game in overtime? Finish the fourth quarter with 13 seconds. But I feel for Mikey's buddy. Man, Bill's money line. Damn. Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, he made us a lot of money in the Big Ten college basketball tournament last year. And you may not know this, but he's made us money over the last 4 days twice on Illinois with the information that he uncovers. Please follow on Twitter at 200columnsRye. He's the head reporter and recruiting analyst for 200columns.com. Ryan Evan, they call you the Swami in Champaign, but I call you the Pulse, man. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Sam. It's always an honor and a pleasure to jump on with you. We go a ways back. We go 4 or 5 years back to when you were covering UIC. And you know what? I got to give you credit. You had the Tin Coleman scoop when he was leaving to come to Champaign to join Illinois. So it's always my pleasure to come on. And I am super happy that I've been able to make some people money, you, your friends, your listeners. So, hey, I hope I can continue to do that.
You know what's funny? I wasn't even going to bring Chin up. I don't think I've told you this story. So I had tweeted that Chin Coleman is about to take the assistant job at U of I. And I knew this because I knew everybody at UIC. It was like you were a big fish in such a small pond there with the basketball program. So things got around very, very quickly. And I'll never forget, Chin called me about an hour after the tweet went out. And he goes, Sammy P, bro, I'm down here right now. You got to delete that shit. I'm like, Chin, I'm not deleting the tweet. I know you're going. You know you're going. He's like, I know, man, but come on, just delete the tweet. He tried to get me to delete it. I didn't do it because I didn't have to, but that was very, very funny where he's like, come on, man, please.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what? I do believe that. And he's a great guy. And his tweet when he took the Kentucky job, you know what? I don't feel bad for him that you broke the news. So, but that's great stuff. And but so you got credit for that, and I made sure of it. And I think you joined my podcast. I actually had you on as a guest for my podcast I did. So that was fun, man. Fun times.
So you sent me a text this past Friday. So what, 3-4 days ago? I went to the Bruins game on Thursday night. It was a 7 o'clock puck drop. Went with the boys. We got pretty banged up. And I'm not even kidding. At 1:30 in the morning Eastern, my phone goes bzz, 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 and it's you. It's Ryan Evans saying, hey, man, Kofi's out. Which, at that point, I'm thinking, at 1:30 in the morning, how do you uncover that at that point?
So I'm going to tell you this right now. My mind works a bazillion miles a minute. I run a site. I have small children who wake up at all hours of the night. So I am always on my phone, or I'm on my laptop, my website. I am always taught, you know, just like me, with you know, all these people, you have a bunch of direct messages, texts. The thing is, I had known that for a couple hours, but for some reason I just was like this, you know, I haven't spoke to Sam in a while, and I always like give him a heads up when there's some big Illini news. Like, I'm pretty sure I hit you up with some Iowa news last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Iowa being out situation, I gave you that. And then I'm like, you know what? We really haven't had anything besides the Curbelo situation this year where he was out for a big chunk. But that was such a surprise to everyone, in the sense of we didn't realize how long the concussion protocol, and he had vertigo and all kinds of other things. So it was, I wasn't able to like drop a scoop for you on that. So, I'm like, you know what? I like Sam. I see his tweets. I enjoy talking to him. So I'm going to just hit him up, because I would happen to just wake up. I was up in the middle of the night. My phone had had different messages go off. So I just decided to send you a text message you. So I don't know, man, that's just how I am. I try to look out for people that I respect, and, you know, and I figured, you know, it'd be useful for you. So I'm glad it worked out.
When you sent that message, at that point, Maryland was +7.5. By the time most of the people that got the tweet woke up, say it's 8 o'clock Eastern or 9:30 Eastern, whatever time it is, whatever time zone people are in, by the time they wake up, Illinois is -6. And then Jeff Goodman tweets it out at 9:30 Eastern, and people are sending me that screenshot of the Goodman tweet like, wow, you were right. I'm like, no shit, Ryan Evans had it 10 hours ago. I never am at that point where when you send me info, I never ask if it's good or not. I ask if it's public or not, because you've built up the respect and you've built up the credibility. A lot of these tips I have to double check and triple check, but your stuff is always rock solid. And I'm curious, Ryan, because you had the Kofi stuff Thursday night, Friday morning. You had the Curbelo stuff against Michigan State. You knew he was out way before anybody else. How much tougher is it now in this COVID era where teams completely shutter the windows and they don't give you access? They don't give you anything until almost tip-off. How much tougher is it for you?
Well, I will say it definitely is tougher, but the way I go about things has just been different. So without getting into too many details, I'm what you call people, it's like a Robin Hood type thing. Like, I just love the university. I've started my own site. I gathered info. I did it for free for 6 years, okay? And I'm not going to bash any pay site out there, because I do have my own pay site now, 200columns.com. And that's been 6 years in the making of building credibility for fans, doing everything for free. These pay sites, 247, Rivals, and others, do not like me, okay? So there's animosity with some of them towards me around the program. And trust me, it's not always the easiest to get the information. But what I have always done is build relationships with players as they are recruits, with their parents, with their AAU coaches. And in situations like this, when you've become great friends with a guy's family for 4 or 5 years, or the AAU coach or his high school coach respects you and appreciates you, if a guy is out, you just ask them and you just want to know, hey, what's going on with them? You know, I heard such and such. Sometimes they'll just give you the information, and they know that I'm not necessarily going to just blast it all over Twitter. Now, I know doing this podcast, some situations people might know that I told you about Kofi being out, but that's okay. At the end of the day, I wasn't hurting their player, son, friends, skill set, or reputation, or I don't think I'm hurting them in any aspect. So, and the most point is, I'm not giving the other team a heads up because I'm not publicly telling anybody. So it's been tougher, but why I'm able to still do it is because people respect that I'm real, and I've built real relationships with people. And I'm, you know, that's just how I do it. They know I'm not just a reporter who just wants information. They know I care about their son, their friend, their player, and that. And I'm a true Illini fan. I'm not just covering the team.
Yeah, you didn't make any of that stuff public, which is even more of a hat tip to you. It wasn't about being first. It was about being accurate and about being correct. So we appreciate your insight. Let's turn the page a bit to Saturday. I know it's impossible to know what'll be realistic by Saturday, but Illinois is off until Saturday. Curbelo's been sick. Kofi, you think, was very close to playing against Michigan State on Tuesday night. So is it fair to say that both Cats should be back in the lineup against Northwestern? What do you think?
I genuinely expect Kofi to be back for Northwestern. So anybody listening here, he was pretty much cleared to go tonight, but it was just one of those things where they did that one time with Curbelo in the past before the Purdue game where he was going to go and then Underwood held him back. Then he had a relapse of some issue. They didn't really say what the injury was, and they held him back one more week, and then he practiced a couple days and then played against Purdue. So Kofi could have went tonight, but I 100% expect him to go Saturday. Now, here's the thing with Brad. Do they need him against Northwestern? Probably not. But at this point, you're in first place. You snuck one out. You stole one tonight, you know, with playing guys like Brandon Lieb, who are literally just cheerleaders. You know, you had to play Brandon Lieb because you're in foul trouble. I don't think you want to play with fire, especially if Kobe's 100%. Now, Curbelo is the tricky one, though, Sam, because he's in the COVID protocol. So last Friday against Maryland, he was sick, but he played. You know, had a 100-degree fever. I mean, and the thing is, I don't even know if they should have admitted that or not. Because, I mean, you know, it's like, did he have COVID, you know what I mean, playing in the game? You know, so it's like, he didn't feel good. He played. He didn't practice Saturday. Didn't practice Sunday. He has flu. They said he had the flu. Didn't practice yesterday. And he's out now in COVID protocols. So, with the it's like a 5 to 10 day scenario if he tested positive. I think that's something that me and you will have to touch up again before Northwestern. But I would say this for everybody. Kofi, yes. I would say it's a toss-up right now for Curbelo because that's 3 days away, you know, before he'd have to get cleared for all his COVID protocol.
So when you see a pick at Chicken X Dinner and it involves Illinois, odds are good, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it comes from Ryan. You don't just know Illinois, though. You know this entire Big Ten Conference. So there are a couple things I want to ask you about. There's a big game coming up on Thursday, and then I want to throw some rapid-fire odds at you for Big Ten teams to make the Final Four. Let's start with Purdue at Iowa. Purdue 16-3 goes on the road to Carver Hawkeye. It is a 9 o'clock Eastern tip, so a late one in Iowa City. From the numbers side of it, I think Purdue's going to be about a 3-point favorite, maybe 2.5. How do you handicap that one? Purdue on the road at Iowa Thursday night.
I think it'd be easy to take Purdue in this one, but I think I'm going to go with Iowa, and you got to look it around like this. Iowa always plays tough in Iowa City. They've been playing really good of late. And they also just about stole one in West Lafayette when they first played. I think Purdue won by 2. West Lafayette, and now if you look at Keegan and Chris Murray, Chris Murray's playing near Keegan Murray level. So that's something that Iowa didn't have earlier in the year, even when Illinois went and played and beat Iowa and Iowa City. So I think that's going to add another dimension as well. Obviously, Purdue's going to have the advantage in the post, but I like Iowa. So I hope those are valid reasons for people. But having a lethal twin combination is not common, but Iowa has that, and they're playing more confident of late.
Can you figure Michigan out, Ryan? I can't. I don't know what's going on there. Can you figure them out? Can they figure it out?
Yeah, as much as I don't want to say that, being an Illinois guy, you know, Hunter Dickinson looks super confident right now. He shot the ball like crazy in Bloomington. He pretty much willed them to a win in that game. I mean, I'm not going to say Caleb Houston, you know, I think he made four or five threes. He looked probably his best game of the year. Caleb Houston's been struggling with confidence issues. But, you know, they look healthier, and their young guys are getting better. You know, Diabate's really good. Caleb Houston I really like. I think to me it's, you know, how good is Hunter Dickinson going to be? Is he going to be the guy from last year, or is he going to be the guy from earlier in the year who was struggling, you know, big time? So, you know, they let Minnesota came in there and beat them by 10, and the second half has really been Michigan's issue. So I think Michigan is going to make a push, and I think they will make the NCAA tournament this year. I think it's going to be a little too late to necessarily win the Big Ten. You know, I know they're only 3-3 right now, but still got some marquee road games and, you know, some rescheduled games they're going to have to throw in there as well.
Illinois currently favored to win the Big Ten at Foxbet, plus 240. Then Purdue, 320. Michigan State, 4-1. Wisconsin, 450. Ohio State, 8-1. And Iowa, 20-1. Then everybody else. I don't know that I would bet anybody at this point. The number isn't valuable on Illinois anymore. I don't really like Purdue. Like, I think Illinois is going to win the Big Ten, but I wouldn't bet it at plus 240. That being said, I want to go rapid fire at you. I'm going to give you a team and a price. Let's say I gave you $100. You could bet all these teams if you want, although that would be kind of stupid. There's only four teams that make the final four. But if I said, all right, Ryan, $100, would you bet Purdue at plus 220 to make the final four? Yes or no?
Yes.
No. Why is that?
I mean, I just think they're deep in, you know, and look, I'm going to put Illinois in this as well, but I just think they're deep and they're bigs. You know, I think that's going to be a tough matchup for many people, and especially if Stefanovic is shooting the way he has been of late. At Illinois, he was the reason that they won the game. I think, yeah, they've got shooters and they're confident. They, you know, defense is going to be the issue for them, but I think scoring the ball, it's who's going to stop them. And if you look at their wins earlier in the year as well, they've beaten some really good teams. You know, I think the win over Villanova was super impressive. Coming into Champaign and doing what they did to Illinois, even though I feel Illinois is going to win the Big Ten, they just shows you what their capabilities are. And did that surprise you, Sam? I mean, or I know you wouldn't may have done that, but again, every team you tell me, I'm not going to say yes on.
They have the third best odds, so I don't. No, I don't hate the position by any means. And again, you can make three or four wagers because there's a chance that, you know, maybe Purdue doesn't make it. But if you go down the page on a long shot and they make it, you're going to make money. So it's really a fair shake. How about Illinois? I have a feeling I know where you're going on this. Illinois to make the Final Four is almost 6-1, plus 575. 100 makes 575.
Oh, man. 100 makes 575. Yeah, I think that's worth it. And here's the thing, and I hate doing this because it's like two guys. Yeah, here I am back to back. Yeah, I think they go to the Final Four. But I just like what this team is trending to, so I'm going to say yes to Purdue and Illinois. Here's why Illinois. I think I know them pretty well, but what you saw tonight, Michigan State, who's going to give any team they play in the NCAA tournament a problem. Illinois is down there two. I won't say they're two best players as of right now, because I think Trent Frazier has solidified himself with Kofi as the top two players on the team. Curbelo is a special talent, but he has to be consistent and he has to play. Trent Frazier plays through injuries and has been doing this for 5 years. So I think what Illinois has is a special blend of elite shooting with Plummer and Frazier, and Grandison, when he gets hot, is a 45% shooter from three. So, and Kofi, the most dominant big in the country. And then you add a special talent like Curbelo, who's a wizard with the ball, and you're seeing them develop guys like Luke Goody. Luke Goody with the step back three and Malik Hall's face. It's like where's this coming from, you know? And then Benjamin Bonson's Verdonk is turning into, he's going to be a solid backup five. He's a physical presence, you know. He knows his role. I really like what Illinois is blossoming into.
I got two more. Wisconsin, usually pretty tricky around March, tough to solve them. They don't beat themselves. You could get the Badgers at 9-1 to make the Final Four. Interested?
No.
Okay.
No, Wisconsin. I think Johnny Davis is, you know, it's not a one-trick pony. I think Davison, he's going to be up to his old parlor tricks. You know, is he going to be on from deep? I really like Tyler Wall. You know, he's good, but they don't have tons of experience in the post besides like fifth-year big man vote from Cincinnati. They have a freshman point guard. I know Chucky Hepburn has played pretty good, but still very young in that aspect. And just a lot of pieces on there who really haven't had a lot of time. And if you really look at their key wins, Johnny Davis has just went off in those. They easily could have lost at Northwestern. I think Davis hit a couple bank three-pointers. I mean, you know, then he went off for 37 in West Lafayette. Yes, he can do that. But how much can he do that in March Madness? I don't think one guy is going to carry you, you know, other than what Carmelo Anthony did. But, again, Carmelo Anthony is a generational talent.
This team is not a Big Ten team, but they can beat Big Ten teams, and they did it last year. My last team for you, they are a sleeper, and they are down the page, but the wise guys love them. The metrical guys love them. I think the bookmakers like them too. Loyola Chicago is 45-1 to make the Final Four. Would you do that?
Am I still on the $100 here? What am I betting?
You bet $100 to win $4,500.
Yeah, I would do that.
They're so good on defense, man.
Yeah, I know. I definitely would do that. So, and I think, and that loss to Missouri State was just an aberration. You know, you're not going to just go perfect in conference play. These schools know you too well. While they do not have, you know, some of the key players from last year, they still have some good players. Lucas Williamson, and you know, they have, you know, basically the coaching, a lot of the coaching staff intact. You're a Chicago guy. I think keeping Valentine was crucial for them. I haven't watched them enough this year, but when you see them creep, when you see them at number 22 in the top 25, I know that they're having a good season. So yeah, I definitely would. I think $100 to win $4,500. I would do that.
Spoken like a true gambler. Do you like Loyola to make the Final Four? Nah. Do you like them at 45-1? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. And I got to be honest with you too. My first pick with Purdue, I wasn't thinking about it. I just think that they have a good shot to make the Final Four. But I guess to pay $100 to win $400, probably not worth it. But I think they're good enough team to make it where I felt like, you know what, I think I could make $400 off this because they're good enough to actually do it. So I think now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, maybe I see why you were surprised.
Go follow our guy, Ryan Evan, at 200 Columns, Rye, head reporter, recruiting analyst for 200columns.com. I know you're digging deep, man, and I feel like sometimes you're going through garbage to find the stuff you do. It's always solid. It's always appreciated, and we'll get you back on when we get closer to March Madness, okay?
Hey, I appreciate it. I look forward to it, and this is a great podcast, and it's always a good time. I'll make sure I advise anyone who has any desire of making some money to listen to my guy.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Ryan Evan for hopping on the show. Record check, 221, 220, and 7. We're up 1.3 units. We are scratching. We are clawing. Always Nice pick on the Blackhawks last night, thanks to Alex Smith. Had them plus 105. That was a roller coaster. They go up 4-0, then it's 4-3. I think they won 8-5 or 8-6. And we had the under, took that one on the chin. Texas A&M LSU under 130.5. That got over. And we've got two pending bullets. KC plus 650 to win the AFC. San Francisco plus 650 to win the NFC. I think we're going to hedge. Final decision coming up on the show on Saturday. Coming up on that show, Matoy Pearson from WinBet will join us. Cash some tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you then right here on Chicken Dinner.
My brother told me so, you'd be the greatest man.